Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, Sanhedrin Samach Zayin. We begin at the Mishnah, which is right on top of the Amud. Back to that list of individuals who will generate the Einish of his Sekil on account of their transgressions. We have, first up today is Mesis. Mesis is a fellow who misleads somebody to do Avodah Zarah. Says the Mishnah, HaMesis. Okay, that's the item on the list, back in the Mishnah, Daf Nun Gimel. Who is the Mesis? Ze Hedyot. It's specific to a Hedyot, an ordinary person, as opposed to a Navi, a prophet, who's prophesizing in, allegedly, in the name of Hashem, and misleading others, in the name of Hashem, so to speak, to do Avodah Zarah. So that fellow is punished differently. That fellow would get a chenek instead of a skila, as we're going to see in the Gemara. So Hamesis, who gets skila, is specific to Zehedyoit, only an ordinary citizen who misleads others. And also Hamesis Esahedyot, provided that he misled an individual, as opposed to the Ir HaNidachas, he led astray, you know, the entire city. In which case, again, he's penalized differently. Instead of sekila, chenek is applied, death by choking. So the Mishnah points out there are two specifics when it comes to a mesis getting sekila. Number one, provided that he's a hedyot, as opposed to being a navi. Number two, provided he only misled an individual, as opposed to an entire city, entire community. So, how does the Mesis go about doing his, applying his trade? Amara. So he approaches an individual and he presents him with a colorful description of the Avodah Zarah. Yesh Yira. Yira here is a reference to the Avodah Zarah. Mok and Pliny, this and this place. Look, what the Avodah Zarah does. Kach Oichales, Kach Shasa, Kach Mativa, Kach Maria. Right? She eats, she drinks. She provides favor to those who worship her. Kach Maria punishes those who don't worship her. Now, kol chayav misa shebetayra, typically, in order to apply misa to a person, you put him through the, you know, formal hasra'a process. You warn him. You try to discourage him, right? We don't set him up, right? Ein machminin alehim. We don't set them up. Chutz mizu, as opposed to the mesis, he took sin one step further. Instead of just transgressing himself and confining it to himself, he spreads the word. He influences others. That's the worst, right? So in this case, we actually set him up. We ambush him. We don't warn him. Okay? As follows. Amar l'shnayim, suppose he approaches, Reuben approaches Shimon and Levi and try to convince them to do Avodah Zarah, he neidav. They can turn into his witnesses without warning. They turn around and accuse him in the Bezdin. And we view the Bezdin, they deliver him to the Bezdin, the second Oise, ultimately they kill him. Now, Amar l'echad, suppose Reuben only approached Shimon and tried to convince him. Shimon is only one person, not enough to testify against him. So what does he do? He tries to lead him on. So Shimon responds by saying, you know what, I'm not alone. Yishli chaveirim roitzim mekach. I have, you know, a bunch of friends who might be interested in this. And he's trying to set him up so that he approaches the many and they can turn into witnesses against him. So if this fellow is a sly fellow and understands he's being tripped up, he's afraid. He doesn't want to take the risk. He doesn't want to speak in front of many. So how do we get him? How do we hook him? Machminin loyedim achri hageder. We set up two witnesses, you know, behind the bend, behind the fence, out of sight, and they sort of bug his phone line, right? And they listen in to the conversation. Who are you? And Shimon again approaches Reuben with the Edom, set up behind. Emor, please, can you repeat to me, Masha Marta, what you told me, you know, last time? Biyichud, it's just me and you, please. Don't worry. Vala Imrlai. And Reuven falls for the, you know, ruse, and he repeats his words, he repeats his offer to go serve idols. And Shimon gives him one chance here. Vu Imrlai, and he says, what do you mean? Heich naniach es alukenu shiva shemayim. How did you suggest that we abandon Hashem? We go stick to, you know, sticks and stones. Now, if this works, it's one last chance to save himself. If he cancels his offer, it's okay. He's good. Vimar, but if he insists and says, well, kachi chayv asenu, this is our obligation, kachi afalonu, this is good for us. So he keeps on promoting his pitch. So now it's time to jump him. Ha'imdin achari agedar, so the edim who are set up behind the fence now jump in and drag him to the bezdin. Mevina yisa lebezdin, v'sekin lo'isa, ultimately they kill him. Now what constitutes maces? So it would seem from the Rashi over here that the forthcoming phrases are consent phrases uttered by Shimon, who's sort of on the receiving end of this offer. Sorry, Rashi over here sounds like it's the maces. Reuven, who's plying his trade by offering these, using this these lashonis to offer his services and to offer his advice and mislead Shimon. Whereas in the other Rashi, a couple of weeks ago, at the beginning of this sugya of Avodah Zarah, it sounded like it was the Shimon on the receiving end who responds accordingly. Well, either way, the point is the same, because as soon as Reuven makes his offer in any one of these lashonis and Shimon accepts it, right? So that's considered a meisis umidiach. That's his chayev. Shimon is chayev because the hasasa, the misleading, so to speak, took effect. Right? And the pasuk says, once you accept it, once you acquiesce, it kicks in, and it's like Shimon. You know, it's like Shimon did avodah zarah. In any case, Reuven is certainly considered a meisis with respect to being liable to skila. So, which language constitutes a meisis? So, Omer, he says, avod. I'm going to worship. Eilech ve'evet, I'm going to go worship. Ne'elech ve'evet, let's go together. Ezbach, I'm going to slaughter. Eilech ve'ezbach, I'm going to go and slaughter. Ne'elech ve'ezbach, let's go together, it's many. Akter, I'm going to burn, you know, keteris and to the Avodah Zarah. Eilech ve'akter, ne'elech ve'akter. Anasech, I'm going to pour. Eilech ve'anasech, ne'elech ve'anasech. Eshtach ve'al, go bow to Avodah Zarah. Eilech ve'eshtach ve'neelech ve'eshtach ve'. All these qualify. Now the Mishnah began with the word Hamesis Ehedit, which we learned to mean Taimud Ehedit. That's only because he's an ordinary Pashatayid who is doing this maces. And therefore he gets Sekila. As opposed to a prophet, Hanavi, should he do the same in the name of Hashem B'chenek, he gets Chenek. The next diuk in the Mishnah was, V'amesis is ahedit. Only if he did this to an ordinary person. Tama diyoch, that's because he's an individual. Right? That's what hedit means, an individual here. Ha-rabim, but if it's the community, it's the Ir HaNidachas, B'chenek, then his punishment switches to Chenek. Whose shita is this? Whose opinion is reflected in this mission? That if it's a Navi, misleading, alternatively, if a person misleads the crowd, the city, it switches to Chenek, Masnisen Mani, Rab Shimoni, the Sani, you have an Abraisa. Even a Navi, Shehidiach, Biskila. No difference if it's a Navi or a regular person. That's a Tanakam or Rab Shimon Aimer. No, it switches Bechenek. If it's not, a Navi does this, he gets Chenek. Likewise, Madich Irani Dachas Biskila. If you mislead the whole city, you get skila. But Rav Shimon Aimer Bechenek. So the Mishnah, which indicates that Chenek applies to a Navi doing it, alternatively to a city that was done too, there's Chenek, that's Rav Shimon speaking. Okay, that's the first part, the Reisha of the Mishnah. Ein Masefa. Let's proceed to the second part of the Mishnah, which is actually the piece coming up further down on today's Amud. That's the second part of the Mishnah, which begins with the words Hamidiach. So we have Mesis on the list of Niskalim, we have Midiach as well. What defines a Midiach? Zeh Omer, Nelech, V'Navid, Avitz Kechavim. He turns to the crowd, come, let's worship. V'am Rav Yehuda, Amar Rabbi explains, this is specific to Medichi, Ir HaNidachas Shanu. We're discussing a person who's misleading the entire city. And the Mishnah says, even this fellow gets Sekila. Oh, that's not going to be Rav Shimon, he says he gets Chenek. Ason Rabbanon, that works according to Rabbanon, that even in this case it's Sekila. So now you sort of have a split in the Mishnah. Reisha, the first part of the Mishnah, is Rav Shimon speaking. The Sefer Rabbanon, the next part is the Rabbanon, who say that Skila is applied. A bit, you know, improbable. Answers the Gemara, Ravina Amar, you're right, Kula Rabbanon hi. Even the first part is the Rabbanon. And the Mishnah never meant to say that that if a person's Mesis, a Rabbim, it changes to Chenek. No. When the Mishnah says a Mesis is a Hedyot, gets Skila, it includes even a Rabbim as well. Kulu Rabbanani, V'loizu Afsu Katani. The Mishnah is using a formula called Loizu. Not only this, not only if you convince an individual, do you get Skila. Afsu Katani, even the Rabbim would also generate the same liability, as opposed to Rav Shimon who says Chenek. So actually, the Reisha and the Seif al Bochter Rabbanon, skilus to be applied whether it's to an individual or a Rabbim. Rav Papa, he's now going to focus on the first diuk regarding the opening words of those Mishnah, of that Mishnah. Mase is a Hedyut. That only in a Hedyut does this get skilus, indicating that perhaps a Nabi changes the rules. No! Rav Papa, Kikatani, Mase is a Hedyut. When the Mishnah says a Mase is specific to a Hedyut, we didn't mean to imply an ordinary Pasha to either as opposed to a Navi. Lachmana. Hedyut means we treat him with disregard, with disrespect. We don't value his life, so to speak. We set him up, as opposed to your standard procedure where it's done carefully, with sensitivity. We proceed slowly. We try to avoid ensnaring him. Here we ensnare him, because look what he's doing. He's influencing others, and he's ensnaring others. The Sani, as we find in Brisa. So that's all it means. The Hadith means we treat him like, you know, somebody with very little value. The Sani, Sharkal Chayovim Misa Shibatayra, as the Brisa says, typically when it comes to applying Misa, Ein Machmin Nalein, we never set people up. Chutz Mizu, except for the Mesis. Ketad, Oysen, how do we go about this? Ketad, Oysen, Loi. Madlikin Loi Saner Beves Apnimi. So we turn on the light in the inside room. Umoshivin Loi Edim Beves Achitzen. We place the Edim in the outside room, which is dark. So it's like sort of a one-way glass. They can see in, but he can't see out into darkness. To enable them to see him one way, the Shemin is koyel and hear his voice. Who but he himself? The Mesis ain't a roya oisan. He can't see them. And then they set him up. Valo imerloy, and Shimon responds to Reuben and says, "Well, remember what you told me over there? Could you repeat it again? What's your offer?" Emor mashamata libiichut. Valo imerloy, and he repeats his pitch. Valo imerloy, and Shimon tries to dissuade him somewhat. He gives him one last chance. Heich naniachas al kenish v'ashamayim. How are you suggesting that we abandon Hashem? V'navad avayz kechavim. So imchay zebo, if he cancels his offer, mutav, great. V'vamar. But if he insists and he proceeds and says, kach yachiv aseinu, v'kach yafalanu, then we catch him and take him to the bezna. Edom sheshayimim machutz. The Edom are waiting outside and listening and seeing him. V'vino yis lebezna, deliver him to the bezna, v'sekel noise, and he gets his skill. Mishnah continues. Hamidiyach. Well, that's if he does it to a community. Zoimer, he goes to the city and he says, Neilech v'navad v'zkechav. Okay, next on the list of Niskalim is a machashe, a person who engages in all forms of sorcery, a machashe. So it depends if he's legitimately a sorcerer or he's just doing an illusion. Ha'isam ma'asam, he's really doing something with kishav chayiv, he gets kilo. As opposed to a fellow who's just pretending, a good magician and pretending that he's a machashe, but he's not really. V'loy oichez sa'inayim. In this case, you're not allowed to, but it's not sekila. Rekibay Meshun Bishua, and he elaborates on what the Tanakhama said to explain the difference between real and fake. Shnayim Loiktin Shkishun. You could have two people on the stage appearing to be picking cucumbers or whatever. Echad Loiket Upater, Vechad Loiket V'chayev. So Reuven could be doing it and be chayev, and Shimon could be doing something which seems the exact same action, and he's Potter. You know why? Because he's really using kishuv, and he's not. Ha'is ha'masav, he's actually doing something through the kishuv chayiv. Ha'is ha'nav, he's just fooling the people into thinking that he's using kishuv, potter than his potter. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes that it's improbable that, you know, today's magician who practice, you know, weeks and months on end to perfect their talents, and, you know, they're basically using, you know, tricks and sleights of hand to appear to be doing magical stuff. It's improbable that they're not going to be doing what they're doing, provided the audience understands it's just a magic trick, just a magic show, it's just a sleight of hand, it's just, of course, an illusion. Sometimes they do that, especially in front of kids. It's important, you know, at least, he should display once or twice within his show, before he starts his show, that it's really just, you know, he should break it down step by step, slow motion, show them it's really just an illusion. And Rav Moshe says that it sort of preempts the issue presented in our Mishnah, which is only when he's sort of presenting as though he has supernatural strength, supernatural powers, in which case, even though he's not really technically a Mechashev, he's called Oiches Ha'naim and he's Potter. Where in our case, it would be okay. Amar Vidamarav. When the Mishnah begins with Midiach, it means Midiche Ira Nedach HaShanukam. We're discussing. Skila applied to a fellow who's misleading an entire city. HaMechashev, Zo Isamas. Tanu Rabbanu, let's delve into the sugya of mechashiv. So the pasuk says, mechashefa lo yisechaya. Tanu Rabbanu, mechashefa, although it's expressed in a lashon nekeva, really, echad ha'ish, it covers man or woman. Im came out of Mulemi mechashefa, so why refer to a woman? Nesha roiv, nashim, metzuyes, b'kshafim. Most likely, it's a woman, because for the most part they were involved in these things. It was their profession. Misasim b'ma. So which misa is applied to a mechashev? Rabbi Tzaglili Omer. Actually, it's not skila. He disagrees. He says ne'amar kan mechashev leisachaya. We have the words leisachaya. We have by these seven nations who were banished Meretz Yisrael, leisachaya kol neshama. Similar language, leisachaya. Malahalam, besides, just like over there, it's by a sword, as the pasuk says. That's by sichan v'oik. Avkan v'saif here as well. By the mechashefa, you apply a saif. No, it's sekila. Ne'amarkan mechashefa leisachaya. We have leisachaya over here. Ne'amarlahalam, we have by Har Sinai when they were warned against ascending the mountain, and skila was described there. In behema imish lo yichya, so we have lo sechaya connected to lo yichya. We draw a parallel. Malahal b'skila, just like over there, it implies sekila. Afkam b'skila as well by the mechashev et skila. Amar Rabbi Yosi, my matchup was better than yours because ani danti lo sechaya and lo sechaya connected two identical terms, lo sechaya to lo sechaya, to generate saif. Ata danta, but you're sort of mismatching a bit, loisachaya, and you're connecting from loyichyam, loyichyam, it's not an exact match. Omele Rekiva responded, well, ani danti Yisrael, I compared the Anish by Mechashefa to a Yisrael from the Har Sinai, which involved Bnei Yisrael. Sheriba ben Akosa, Mises Harbe, who have an abundance of choices when it comes to Mises, Skila amongst them. Va'ata danti Yisrael me'ab kicham, but you're comparing the Mechashefa, which is Yisrael, to the seven nations who were goyim, whose options are very limited. Shalei ribu ben achasav el misa achas. We only find that the Torah at all gave them only one type of misa. Rashi says, "Vegnei noyach." It's only saif, so it isn't necessarily a true matchup. Ben Azi Omer, he has another source for sekila by mechashev. Nemar mechashev leisachaya. That's in one pasuk, and the following pasuk, v'nemar kol shoychim be'im moisivas. Why did the Torah place these two topics next to each other? Samcha inyan loy. Torah placed one topic next to the other to make that connection. Ma sheichev imehima b'skila. Just as we know, skila is applied to one that's involved with an animal. We already discussed this in the past. Ab mechashev b'skila. Likewise, skila is applied to a mechashev. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, he doesn't hold to this idea of smuchin. Sometimes the psukim are out of order, and that's not going to indicate halachis. And therefore, he expresses himself in wonderment. Just because you found one pasuk next to the other, you're going to upgrade the misa to skila. That's not a good reason. Ella, rather, I'll give you the source for skila. So he agrees, but from a different source. You see, kishav covers a wide scope, a wide range of activities. Amongst them, we have oiv and yidaini. Now, interestingly, the Torah singles out oiv yidaini by name and gives them skila. And we know that whenever there's a collective entity, and we have singled out items that are singled out, and certain things apply to them specifically, it wasn't limited to them. It's meant to sort of reveal about the whole bundle, and it's meant to be applied universally to the entire klal. So the prat is a megala on the klal, and therefore he says, "Ella oyvi yidoni bechlal mechashvim hayu." Really, oyvi yidoni. These activities are included, are covered by the umbrella of kishuv. V'lama yotzu. So why the Torah named them separately and give them sekila, la'akish alein, relem lecha, to connect the rest to them and tell you ma oivi yidani b'skila, which says skila is applied to these two individuals. Av mechashev b'skila, likewise, skila is applied to all forms of kishuv. Asks the Gemara, okay, but now the Rabbi Yehuda Nabi, even according to him, we have a problem. Because la'ava oivi yidani, shnei ksuvin, habam ki'echad. We know that when the Torah applies halacha, a concept, to one thing and then again to something else, that's a limiting implication, because otherwise, if you can learn from there, then the Torah would just stated by one and learn everything from that one. Apparently it's meant to be limited to these two cases. So skila was applied to oiv and yidoni, perhaps to indicate that it's limited to these two. Shnei ksuvim habam ke'echad. V'chol shnei ksuvim, ksuvim habam ke'echad. Ein malam, you can't learn from them. Says the Gemara, you could, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Rabbi Zachariah, ada amra. Here we learn, because of Rabbi Yehuda indeed holds. Shnei ksuvim habam ke'echad, even when it's repeated in two cases, malam, then we can learn from there elsewhere. So that applies to all kishuv. Okay, on this topic of kishuv, which entails tapping into evil forces, which were obviously empowered by Hashem. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, but still, that's why it's called Kishuf. Loma Nikro Shmon Kishafim. Why did it get a name Kishafim? It stands for three words. Shema Kechishin, they contradict, so to speak, contravene. Pamalia Shalmala, Hashem's entourage, Hashem's heavenly arrangement, Hashem's heavenly system. So Rashi says, they have a koyach to harm somebody, even if he's not really. Amisha nigzal liches, he's meant to live. The kshafim have a koyach to go against that and harm him. And now let's see a bit further before we elaborate on this, because of course everything emanates from Hashem. Hashem is the ultimate, power, and nothing can happen without him. So the point is that Hashem empowers these powers, gives them, like they're shluchim of Hashem, they're emissaries of Hashem to carry out His wishes and His will. And a person who chas v'shalom sins and opens the door and avails himself to these powers, so he submits himself to their control, so to speak, but ultimately it's all orchestrated by Hashem. And in fact, if a person is really righteous and truly, truly connected only to Hashem, he's above the fray. He can't be accessed by these powers, as we're going to see in a minute. Ein oid milvadei. There's nothing other than Hashem. Amar b'chanina afilu l'dvar kishof, even kishof. It's all Hashem. They have no independent power. In fact, there was a story involving him, he himself. Hahi itasa, there was a woman who was a mechashefa. Davas k'mahadra l'mishkal afra. She was seeking to pick out some dirt, mitutzei kari, to Rav Chanina from under his legs, which would sort of give her access and able to apply her kishof against him. Amar lo, so he noticed her efforts, and he says, you know what, feel free, imas dais. Zili avidi, if you were able to do the kishuv, go ahead, feel free. I'm not too concerned about your powers. I trust in Hashem. I'm controlled only by Hashem. Eini edim avadi ksiv. The pasuk says there's nothing other than Hashem. Asks the Gemara, Eini, really? They have no power? But Rabbi Yechanan, just told us, lo manik rishmon mechashvim. Why are they called as such? Shema chishin, pamali shemayel. They have ability to imachish. The power of Kedusha. Answers the Gemara, it depends where you're holding in the world. Shani Rabbi Chanina, was very different because he was above the fray. The Nofer Zechus, he had great Zechusim. And Farshim explained, it's all about Madrega. So if a person does something which makes him deserving of Chas V'Shalom, troubles, which are carried out by these Kaiche Sarah in the world, so, ordinarily, he may be exposed to them. But if he elevates himself to the point of ultimate emunah, faith and trust only in Hashem, that preempts all these powers, that protects him. In fact, there's a tremendous segula from Chaim Volozhin, brought in Nefesh HaChaim. Should a person absolutely focus, hone in on the words Eid Mabade and think it's all nothing but Hashem's will that's enlivening everything? The source of all existence is Hashem's Ratzon. Nobody, nothing, nowhere, never can anything transpire, whether by thought, word, or action, if not by pure Ratzon Hashem, by being a pure expression of Hashem's will at that very moment. So if a person really focuses on that, fully, for real, at that point he'll be protected, absolutely protected from any evil forces. Nothing can touch him, nothing can harm him. In his body. Amar Rabbi Aivu Bar Nagri, Amar Bchia Bar Abba. Bilotem. We go back to Mitzrayim now, where the Paray's cronies were trying to imitate Moshe and Aaron, so they tried Bilotem, Elu Masik Shadim, by tapping into the Shadim. Bilahatem, Elu Masik Shafim. That's not by the Shadim. That's Kishuf, different system. Chenu Oimer Eslat, Hacharav Masapeches. So we have by the Gan Eden way back when, right? So it looks like the sword was Lahat Acharav. There was this haze created by this spinning sword, and it was doing it on its own. So Kishuv is sort of something they did on their own. They tapped into the powers on their own without a need for Shadim helping them. Amar Abaye, how do you know which he's doing? Is he doing the Shade or is he doing the Kishuv? The Kapid Amana, if this witchcraft fellow is very particular about his tools, then Shade. There must be he's tapping into the Shade. The Lekabed Amon, if he uses, just random things to ply his trade, then Kishofim, it must be Kishof. Amar Abaye, Hilchos Kishofim, Gilchos Shabbos. We find a parallel between Kishof and Melachos Shabbos. Interesting. So we have three levels, three categories, in terms of kishuv activity. Yeshven beskila, some acts generate skila, the ultimate isur. Yeshven pater halasur, some are asur mid rabbanon, but of course exempt min haTorah. Yeshven mut lechatchila, and some are permitted lechatchila. So regarding Shabbos, a person does an absolute malacha, that's skila. Some things are only mid rabbanon, and some things are absolutely mutter. Rashi says, for instance, trapping a snake to protect oneself, pikuach nefesh, right? Okay, likewise, we have a parallel system by kishuv. Ha'isa ma'asa, if he actually engages in kishuv activity, beskila, that's skila. Ha'ichas ha'inayim, if he's just tricking people into thinking that he's doing kishuv, then it's pater, he's exempt from skila. Aval asa, of course, it's an infraction. What's mutl chatchila? That's when he's not tapping into koiches hatumah, rather he's tapping into Hashem's koiches, so to speak, using the shem of Hashem. Because Rav Chinana, Rav Oishi, we had that story the other day. So call Mali Shabbat to every Erev Shabbos, have a ask you, Bechus Yitzir, they would sit down and learn Sefer Yitzirah and discuss the names of Hashem, the Tziruf HaShemois, the connections of the Shemois and the variations with which Hashem created the world. And as they were learning, suddenly a calf walks in. Amid Vilu, Igla Tilsa, this really good quality calf walks in. Ba'achilan, they would have it on Shabbos. So this is totally permitted, Rashi says, because it wasn't a kishuv, masa kadosh baruch hu hein, Rashi says, avidei shem kedusha, it happened through shem of Hashem. Amar Rashi, chazinu li lavod karna. I once noticed, Karna's father, who was a machashiv, the nofitz, so he's banging his nose or something, v'shadi kricha, that was his trick to get things going, and he would spit out kricha d'shiroi, these pieces or bundles of material minichiri from his nostrils. So when it came to the plague of lice of Kinim, the chartumim paris people there, they acknowledged that it's Hashem's doing. Why? You know why? Mikan, we learn from here, she'ena shade yochel libros bria pachas b'kisoiro, because a shade which they engaged in could not create something which was smaller than a lentil, and the louse was very small, too small for their abilities. So they acknowledged it must be Hashem. Rav Papa Amar Halakim, which is a lashon of a shvua, absolutely not. They can't create anything. Afilu ki gamlo nami lamotzi bori. They can't even create an ant if they wish to do so. They can only do yesh me yesh. They can't make yesh me ayin. Hai michneflei. All they can do with their trickery is gather. They can summon, you know, all kinds of things from elsewhere and quickly get it over here. They can't create new things. So large animals, they can run over really quickly through the kishuv. But a small louse, Rashi says, doesn't have the kayach to go travel from wherever it's being to get over there quickly, so therefore they were not successful in gathering it in time. Amalei Rav L'Rbechia. L'didi, chazili, actually, you know, we say they can't create new things. Actually, I once saw Hahu Taya, this Arab, the Shaklis of Syria, took a sword, V'gaydi L'gamli, he sliced his camel, V'tarifle V'tavel, and he took his bell, and he's jingling, V'kam, and suddenly the animal comes back to life. Amalei says, actually, did you take a look at where the camel dropped? Levasar hachi, after it got up, dam upart upertam yavoy, did you find blood or waste? Right? Which would have happened had the story been true. You didn't find that, right? The whole thing was just a fake. Elahi achizas anayimav. He tricked you into thinking it was an illusion. It wasn't for real. Because he can't really recreate things with kishuv. Ziri, what happened to him? Ikla lachzandu shum Mitzrayim. He visited the metropolitan of Mitzrayim, the center of Kishuv, Alexandria of Mitzrayim, Zavan Chamra, and he purchased a donkey. Turned out that it wasn't a real donkey. When he came to the hotel there and gave it a drink, you know what water does? It melts down any item created through Kishuv. The Mefarshim explained that Kishuv is Kechas Ara, and Tuma and water comes from the Tzad HaKadusha, and when they come into contact with each other, it just melts away. Pashar, so his donkey suddenly melted away, dissolved, become Gamla, and turned into a plank, to a skin nita that they use on the bridges, a 2x4. So he went back to his seller for a refund. Unbelievably, he says, well, you're lucky. You love Ziriyat. If not for you being Ziri, a prominent person, no refund for you. Why? Well, you have a madrin lach. We wouldn't refund you at all. And it's only out of respect that we're doing it. Because when you buy stuff in Mitzrayim, it's at your own risk. Everybody knows that this is the place of Kishuv. You think there's anybody that comes to buy anything here before checking out his item, certifying it as genuine, without first checking it with water? Yanai, What was the story with Tiana? Iklala washpizi comes to this hotel. Amrlu ashkayin mai. He says, I'm thirsty, please. A drink of water, please. On the ice with lemon. Kribish asisa. They brought him this sort of drink mixed with flour. Chazada kamarachshon sevasa. He saw the waitress was mumbling something. So he got a little fishy. Shada purtimine. So before he took a drink, he spilled out a bit on the floor. Havo akrivi. Suddenly they turned into scorpions. He realized that he had been set up with kishuf. So he spilled it out without them seeing it. Amaluhu, when he turned to them, he says, Anosh, you know, I drank yours. Now it's time for you to drink mine. Atu na meisha sumididi. Drink my water. And of course it was spelled with kishuf. Ashkaye. So he gave her to drink. Havachamr, she turned into a donkey. Ruchava, he started riding the donkey. Solik Lashuvi came to town. Shows up at the marketplace. And also Chaverta and her colleague, her friend, I guess saw through the donkey and realized it was her friend that had been turned into a donkey. And she had kishuf up her sleeve. Pashula, so she sort of melted down, dissolved the donkey and turned back into a person. Chazur, everybody sees this guy riding a woman. The Rachav Akai, he's coming along riding Aitas of Ashuka, this woman in the street, until he realized what happened. Vatalat Tzfardeya. Okay, on the topic of the Makos in Mitzrayim, we have one more point, elaborating on how the Tzfardeya spread out. So first it says one single frog, or some say the alligator, came up, and then suddenly it covered the entire countryside, at the Chas Eseres Mitzrayim. How did that happen? Amar Blaza, Tzfardeya Achas Hoysa. It started off as one, Hishritza, Omola Kalas Mitzrayim, but then it spewed forth and it shut out many, many, many frogs. Ketanoi, we have a machlekes tanoim on this. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Tzfardeya Achas Hoysa. Yeah, it was really only one. Umilas Kalas Mitzrayim, eventually it shot its offspring all over the place. Amar Rabbi Lezman, Azaya. I don't accept this story. Akiva, he turned to Akiva. Akiva, Malacha, it's Lagada. What are you doing interpreting these psukim like this? The Agada, that's not your forte. Your expertise is, you know, Rabbi Chaim Briska. Kalei midirasecha, you know, stop what you're saying and turn to the things that you're expert in. Valeich etzel negoim, you know, the difficult sugi of negoim va'alais, that's your expertise. So what you're saying is incorrect. I disagree. How did it happen? Tzfardeya achas hoysa. It was really just one single frog. Sharkolam bimbo. But it whistled to all its friends out there, and they all came running, and they filled the land with tzfardeyim. Okay. We'll end it here, and quickly look at today's daf. We discussed the mesis. We discussed the mediach. A shaila, what happens to a mesis who's a navi? What happens to this mediach of a city? Rabbi Shimon says in both cases it's chenek. Chacham say in all cases it's skila. We learned the pasuk that we see skila from. Some say actually all machashim get saif, depending on the source. We learned about the power of kishuf and how it can be undone with righteousness, with tzchusim, eidim levadoi, with water. And we concluded with the story of the tzfardim arriving in Mitzrayim. All the best to you and much atzlacha.